Get us started. Hi, this is Diane, and it is Tuesday, 11:18, and I'm here with the 2 p.m. group. Got so far Lisa, Jeannie, Julie, and Stu. So let's just do a quick check-in and see how things have been going. You guys were talking about shifting expectations last time. What's been going on and how have things been going? Silence. I'm going to call on you. Lisa, how have things been going?
Things have been going good. I've just been, I don't know, everything is going pretty good. Just definitely, thinking about, when I want him to do something or he needs to get something done that, just, again, like shifting the expectation and just realizing that, it's not that, he's trying to give me a hard time. It's that, he actually can't do it right now. Or, we need to do something else to get him motivated first. And so that's been helpful, Sometimes I'm just like, okay, let's just scratch this and do something else. So it's been helpful having that thought process behind me.
Great. So, Julie, how have things been going for you?
You take Julie?
Julie.
Well, things have been going pretty well. I was lucky enough to get to meet you guys a few days ago in Chicago, and so I've just really been thinking a lot about that, at the things I've learned at the conference, and I missed the last call, so I didn't get to work on any of that stuff, but things have been going good. Positive turn, I think.
Awesome. When did you get back?
Sunday morning.
All right. Jeannie, how are things going for you?
Actually, much better. I had to be very firm with my son and took away completely no video game times in the morning, and he was kind of a little bit upset about him, very sad, kind of crying about it, but he kind of understood and still kind of weepy about it. But so he's like, I'm just not going to get up until 7 o'clock, and he's coming and go. I'm like, okay, that's the way it is, and I just can't handle these tantrums in the morning, and you just cannot handle it, and it's just not going to happen anymore. So he's dealing with it pretty well. I just said cold turkey, it's gone.
How long has it been since you did it?
I think I terminated it probably the next day after this call. So that was 2 weeks ago. That Wednesday or Thursday, I said that's it. My brain's fried with all this. It was just a very emotional week for him, and I said I just can't do this anymore. You'll have some time on the weekend, whatever. You'll get some time at night when your work is done, but not in the morning. You can even watch a little show in the morning. You get up early, but no video games, especially if it's something he does, World or Tank, with Tank. No more. There's no end to it. And we just can't get off. And the transition's just too hard. So it's just too hard for me, and I have an awful day with it. But now it's...
So good for you for making the decision. I'm sure it was hard, and I'm sure it was hard, particularly when he resisted and he was upset. But it sounds like you've been able to kind of stay calm about it and stand your ground. And here's the good news, is that you now have a tool that becomes more of a motivation for him.
He knows. I think he's realized, okay, I can do this. I'm not thrilled with it. I can't have a temper tantrum about it. It's just not going to work anymore. So I think he should be proud of himself, even though he's probably not too thrilled about it. But it's a big obstacle for him to overcome, and probably me too, to just not let his emotions bother me. Because I don't like, his anger. That is very. I grew up in a very angry house, and I don't like that. So that was huge for me.
Okay. So, Sue, how have things been going for you?
Pretty good. I know that I was trying to just think more about what's a reasonable accomplishment, and switching those expectations that I have and just taking a really good look at that, especially in regards to homework, I think, because that's where his big push is, and he's got a good amount of it that really tests his ability of being able to persevere and kind of get through it in a positive light. And also to work more on the taking aim of just working that the school day morning time is positive for both of us, and to kind of work on that, which sometimes worked for me and sometimes didn't. I mean, just in regards to me doing it and following through, I just really found that when other things were forefront on my mind and that sometimes they would take over versus really staying focused on the positive. So it has nothing to do with him. It has totally to do with me. So that's another one. I just want to keep on hammering it out and keep on working on that.
Great. So what is it? You said that you, what you're trying to do is to set some reasonable expectations around homework. Was there something in specific you focused in on?
Say the end of the sentence again, please.
Was there something specific that you focused in on in terms of adjusting your expectations?
I think part of it is that since he's got a good share of it, is just the length of time that he's been working and to be able to kind of stop and really notice that, because sometimes I wouldn't quite notice how late it was getting and I wouldn't realize, like, holy cow, he's been working for this long. Of course he's exhausted, you know, and being able to kind of respect that instead of just focusing on the get it done, get it done, get it done.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because my kid, I mean, my kid's older than the rest of yours that are on this call. He's 15, but I was gone all last week, and he had a really, really rough week, and so he had a lot of stuff that was missing. And I ended up sitting down with him, which I don't often do, and we worked through two or three assignments together, and I just sat with him, and I wrote for him, which I haven't done in a long time since he was, you know, 10 or 11. And
yeah.
And he flew through it, and you know, he had this vision of it taking just hours and hours and hours, and we got through the whole thing in like 30, 40 minutes, which was great. And, but it's kind of this sort of, okay, what does that mean in terms of the support you need on an ongoing basis, and how can I help you, you know, when you get overwhelmed like this or you get to the point where you're spending longer than you than I think you need to, you know, is there a way for me to go, hey, do you want some help? Or, hey, do you need a break? Or whatever it is to kind of help them break it up in their head. Because usually what happens, like you discovered, they get exhausted, and so their productivity just tanks.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good. All right. So, 1, 2, 3, okay, that's 4. So I think everybody checked in. So, let's take a minute before we start talking about our topic. We're going to talk about the fourth critical area today, talk about systems and structures. But let's take a minute to take aim, and let's get really specific on what is the area of challenge you want to focus in on as part of our conversation today. So take a minute to decide on your own, and then let me and the group know what you're going to take aim on. I guess I'll go back to the top here. Lisa, are you ready to let us know what you're taking aim on?
Well, should it be related to systems and structures?
It can be, but it doesn't have to be.
Mm-hmm. No.
Okay.
Well, I think that actually, you know, I'm going to have the first conference, like the, you know, with my son's teacher this Thursday. So I guess I want to kind of take aim on, you know, how I'm going to do this in a kind of non-confrontational way. But it's so big.
So tell me what this is, Lisa, when you say I want to do this in a non-confrontational way.
Well, I don't like the way, you know, I don't like the way the teacher talks to my son, you know, but I don't want to start a war with him about it. Like, he told my son, you know, you're the lowest in math in the whole class, and, you know, I would like him to, you know, talk to him more, like, you know, in a different mindset where, you know, says something like, you know, I can see you're putting some effort into this, and that's good, or something like that. So I want to talk to him about turning it around. And also, like, I'd like to talk to him about having him shift some expectations too. You know, he wants, you know, everything and it's just not going to happen, you know, at night, you know, and I'm really pleased my son's behavior is better in the class, but he still, you know, has difficulty with a lot of other issues. So I guess just praising or, you know, talking to him about, you know, the positive things instead of, you know, saying like, you know, you're the worst math student in my class. So, yeah, so somehow I want to figure out how to talk to him in a way that, you know, doesn't make him get defensive.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So you're trying to help him to, you want to educate the teacher and you want to help the teacher to have more of a positive focus and more
realistic expectations. I mean, it's just a quick little 20-minute thing, so.
Yeah. So for some reason, I don't know, the online system here just kind of crashed on me. I think, let me just make sure I've got other people besides Lisa on. Is everybody else still on?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm here.
All right, so it may just be the online thing. Let me just try again to log back in again. But so go ahead and, Julie, where do you want to take aim? I'm sure you've got a lot of stuff you focused in on over the weekend at the conference.
Yes, but I think in my house what I want to work on is technology use, sort of the gaming, video games and the computers and all that, and try to set some kind of rules that everybody can agree to and that we can work around. Work with. So that's what I'm thinking about.
So what problem are you trying to solve, Julie, just to get really clear?
Well, it sounds like someone else was already working on this in the last couple of weeks, but the transition time when it's time to be done with the video games, there's always sort of a pushback, you know, I don't want to get off the game or just one more minute or, you know, how come she gets more time than I do or something like that. So I want to just, I want the expectation for them. I want them to understand exactly what the rules are because, honestly, I don't feel like I even know what the rules are. So I think if I know the rules and they know the rules, then it's easier to follow them with. Right.
So I'm hearing kind of three things. This one is you want to get really clear about what the rules are so that the goal would be then once the rules are clear, then you can figure out kind of how to manage and support them through transition and how to address any pushback that you get.
Right.
Is that right? Okay. Great. Okay. Jeannie, where do you want to take aim?
Well, two boys, but I think I guess I'll concentrate again on Ryan. There's a lot of things he's working on with too. He has a counselor, and one thing that he really has a hard time with, minding his own business, gets into his brother's stuff, into everyone. He wants to know everything and just antagonizes people. But I don't know if this is jealousy. Is that an ADD behavior because he's so jealous and competitive with his brother? Well, he's older, so he shouldn't really need to compete, but he's really very jealous, and he just gets into his brother's business and just, he's doing this, look at me, why can't I have more time, blah, 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 you know. But that's what he's working on with his counselor. So I don't know how to frame that into one target area, but just minding his own business instead of getting into everyone else's junk, he needs to look at himself and work on himself.
Well, and so from a neurobiology perspective, what's going on is self-regulation. And so the part of us that may, that's their thing, I need to stay out of it, doesn't connect the same way, you know, so he doesn't realize kind of what the right boundaries are, and so they tend to, and think about it, you know, it's like if he's, you know, emotionally immature in terms of his own emotional intelligence and self-awareness, so he's more like a 7 or 8-year-old, right, practically in that area, so, you know, 7 and 8-year-olds are curious. They're like, what's everybody doing and what's he doing and why does he get this? And what, you know, it's just like this sort of curiosity and inability to kind of manage boundaries that is different than when our kids are more in that preteen and teenage. So it feels like that would be a good thing to take aim on, particularly because he's working on it with the counselor. And so there may be something you could do at home to support him as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what we're doing.
Great. All right, and Sue, what about you?
Well, this is something that kind of came up at the last phone call, but in regards to the usefulness of the adults modeling how we deal with disappointment. Because my son, who's 10, had a situation recently, a disagreement with a friend. And it was a perfect opportunity for me to really see how he handles the situation. And I realized, yeah, he just needs more of that modeling. So to be able to, for my husband and I to model how we deal with it vocally, you know what I'm trying to say, vocally, so that he can kind of see how we deal with it, and then to practice it with him in, you know, maybe going back to this previous situation that my son had with his friend and figuring out how to do it a different way if there's a next time or when there's a frustration of a sort. Does that make sense?
Great. No, it does make sense. And I think that thing, and it'll be interesting to see what you come up with, because as I said, you know, my brain is very system and structure oriented, but I'm like, okay, so what are the four steps to managing disappointment, and how could you create a routine that a child could use, and blah, blah, blah. So it'll be fun to kind of see what you do with us through this call today. Awesome.
Okay.
Okay. So we are going to, so that's a great segue, because what we're going to talk about today, did I miss anybody? I guess check out everybody. 1, 2, 4. Yep. We're going to talk about systems and structures, and this is the fourth critical response area. And I like that this one goes fourth because two reasons. One is that we tend to, as parents, kind of jump to the systems and structures because it's the easy thing and it's the thing that everybody tells us we're supposed to have, but sometimes it's difficult if we don't have them in the context of the other three areas. And the other piece of it is that if we're trying to activate the brain or we're trying to set expectations or we're trying to parent positively, you know, a lot of times we will use a system and structure to implement that. So, for example, when we talked about parenting positively a couple weeks ago, we talked about a 3-to-1 ratio. And it's like, you know, you want to have 3 phrases for every correction, or you want to, you know, you want to set up a, and that's really a system, which is I want to remember every time that I correct my child to also praise them. You know, so that's the tool that you use to help you put in place a positive parenting method. You know, when you're activating the brain and you're trying to, you know, make sure that the brain will remember, you're working on working memory, you might use a mnemonic or a routine. Again, you know, I've got a friend who doesn't happen to be an adult or an ADDer, but, you know, every day when he's leaving the house, he goes, phone, keys, coat, go. You know, and he says the same thing every time when he gets to the door, phone, keys, coat, go. And that's what he does to remember to make sure he's got everything he needs as he goes out the door. Well, that's a system and a structure. It might be a checklist. It might be, again, a routine, a song. I mean, you can make, there's lots of different ways to do systems and structures. And the reality is that sometimes they're for us, and sometimes they're for things that, you know, we need to remember to do. So using a calendar to, one of the things that I use for my kids is if I'm postponing a conversation because everybody's really worked up about something. So last night we had a blow up about X, Y, and Z. So we really didn't get a chance to focus in on it. I'm going to put a note in my calendar today so I don't forget to loop back and say, hey, we had that really rough moment last night. Let's loop back and finish the conversation. So that might be a system and structure that I would put in place for myself so I would remember. There may be a system you put in place to, you know, to make sure that your child knows what to do to get out the door in the morning. And systems and structures are really designed to help with executive function differences. And there's a couple in particular that I'm in the workbook on page 24, I think. Yeah. And there's a couple areas that are really particularly difficult. Activation, which is kind of knowing what to do and when to do it. You know, so calendars would be a great way to activate and you know, checklists and those sorts of things. Working memory is kind of like, how do I remember? I send my child upstairs to get their shoes and put away their backpack, and they come down 10 minutes later with a ball. You know, because I gave them too many things and they didn't have a way to do it. But if you said, you know, if you said backpack book, and they just kept walking up the stairs going backpack book, backpack book, backpack book, it might be a way for them to remember and put that into working memory in a very different way. So it's important for us if we're over as parents, because a lot of times we're really overwhelmed. We might be ADHD ourselves, and so systems and structures and remembering, working memory, and activation are challenges for us. So, again, sometimes the systems are for us, and sometimes they're for our kids. There's kind of 4 things that we talked about here on this page about things that make systems and structures more successful. The first one is to get buy-in. And so this is particularly for older kids is, the group at lunchtime today has, on average, their kids are 14 or 15. At that age, you definitely want your child to take the initiative for figuring out what the system is or creating the system. But you want to make it easy. You don't want to make it too complex. Like everything else, we want to take aim and put a system in place for just one area at a time. You want to be flexible because it doesn't always go the way that you hoped that it would. So you've got to make some adjustments and those sorts of things. And then the last thing is you want to make sure that you're focused on the process and not so much the outcome. So you want to make sure that you reward for effort, that you keep things moving forward, and that the system, a lot of times the system is what can move you through the process. So, for example, I've got a client who is working on morning routine, and his 9-year-old daughter was having a really hard time getting through the morning, and when they got curious, they realized that she didn't know what she needed to do next, and she was having a hard time with a working memory of all of the morning steps, and so she'd be like, Mom, what do I do? What do I need to do? And so she was kind of wandering around, not knowing what to do next. But when they worked together to create a chart that she puts on the wall, she goes back to the chart. It's like, okay, I brushed my teeth, go to the chart. Oh, next thing to do is go put on my clothes. Okay, I put on my clothes, go back to the chart. Now I need to put on my shoes. Okay, I got my shoes on. What do I need to do? I need to go down to breakfast. You know, so it gives her a different level of control and made her feel more independent and more in charge of what's going on for her. So systems and structures can be really important. One of the big pieces of systems and structures that we throw into this module is motivation. And with any system and structure, or actually anything generally, the motivation is really, really, really critical. And I think we've talked about this before, is that the ADHD brain has a very difficult time doing anything without motivation. And so part of what we do when we come up with a system or structure is we look and say, what's the motivation for our child buying into this system? You know, what's the inherent reward or consequence or internal motivation for them that's going to help them to utilize this system or to get through this process? Talked about that there are really 5 different things that motivate the ADHD brain. And not everybody's motivated by all of them, but here, you know, kind of this is your toolkit. If you're looking for things to motivate your child, look at novelty. Is this interesting? Is it competitive? So, you know, telling your child, okay, you know, you were able to do 5 problems in the last 10 minutes. Let's see if you can do 6 in the next 10 minutes. Or I'll race you up the stairs to see who can get upstairs and get their shoes and come back downstairs faster. Or I'll time you to do that. Urgency is a great motivator for many of us as adults. We wait till the last minute and something becomes urgent and it's like, okay, yeah, I've got to do it now because it's due tomorrow. Humor and fun can be something that's motivating as well. And things that are interesting are very motivating. And that's one of the things that I took away from the conference this weekend is the language that the executive function challenges that ADDers have are situational. So that explains why our kids can spend hours and hours and hours focused on Minecraft, but cannot spend hours and hours and hours focused on math, because it's a different kind of situation. So motivation is the difference, is that, you know, our kids probably find Minecraft novel, or they find it interesting, or they find it competitive if they're working with another friend and trying to, you know, beat their last, the design and make it even better or bigger or whatever else. So it's important to kind of find out, and with our kids, you know, sometimes you might even need to sit down and do an interview and talk with them about what it is that motivates them. So it's really important to know what motivates your kid and build motivation into any system and structure to make sure that it can help them to be successful. So that's a lot of stuff on systems and structures and motivation. I'm curious about what comes up for the 4 of you guys as we talk about those areas.
We used to have a chart when my son was little, like in kindergarten, and I took a picture of him getting dressed and brushing his teeth and pasted some vitamins on there and that worked really good for a while. Now he pretty much, the morning routine is not too tough. You know, I have to remind him, you know, teeth and brush hair, whatever. But now I'm thinking maybe I need to have something in place because, you know, like he doesn't ever practice his dance, and he loves dance, but he doesn't practice it. And so I'm thinking about how, you know, do I need to do a chart or something like that? But then also what will motivate him? Because the teacher said if he doesn't start practicing, he's going to get demoted to a lower class, and that's just not motivating to him. So I'm just thinking about that, how I can get him motivated to dance, to practice his dance.
Well, and so I guess the question is it what is it that does motivate him? What are some of the things? Is it novelty? Is it competition? Is it fun?
What motivates him? Yeah, fun, humor, sometimes. And then, you know, having free, he likes free time to do what he wants to do, whether it's to be able to read or do video games or, you know, or whatever it is that he, just free time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and a lot of times what people will do is that they will delay, so screen time, for example, is that instead of just having them get screen time automatically, screen time after they finish something else. So you can use something like screen time as a motivation, even though they're given an hour a night. You say, okay, you can have screen time for an hour a night, but it, you need to finish, you know, practicing before you can do your screen time sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you do it.
Yeah, it's just that the problem, you know, homework takes so much time that there really isn't much besides. There really isn't much time for that. Because, you know, just besides, you know, so I'm not really sure how to incorporate anything else, because between homework and going to bed on time and eating dinner and the very little chores he has, there's really no time for much else. And plus he does go to dance during the week. So having him actually practice, you know, there's not even hardly much time for screens. I mean, you can just, I'm sure you know how drawn out homework can be. You know, 1 hour can just turns into three. Easy.
Right. So I got to ask this, how important is it for him to you that he actually practice dance every night, given all the other things that are on his
I really don't care. It's just that, you know, he's in this little, you know, hip-hop dance group and crew, and he has three classes a week, and the teacher's tough, and he says, you know, if you're not going to be practicing, I'm going to have to take you down from hip-hop 2 back down to hip-hop 1, and so then he tells me, you know, the teacher treats him badly, and it makes him feel really sad that, you know, he doesn't want to go back to hip-hop 1. And, you know, and I explained to him, you know, you're going to need to practice, but that's not motivating enough to him. So I don't know. But it doesn't bother me. I don't think the teacher treats him badly. He's just telling him, you know, if you want to be in this class, you have to work hard.
Yeah. So I think that the thing is that, you know, you're not motivated to do this. It doesn't feel like it's a priority for you.
Right.
How can you just take his lead in terms of the situation?
I don't know. You know, I don't know, other than, you know, I've talked to him about it a few times, you know, and he says it's important, but he's not willing to do the work, which is, you know, very typical for him for a lot of things.
So can I offer a reframe instead of not willing to do the work? He's not able to do the work? Yeah.
Uh-huh. He's not able to do the work?
I mean, it's hard when you're 10 to kind of organize. I mean, you've already told him that he's a really busy kid and he's got a lot of stuff on his plate. And so, maybe dance becomes fun. Maybe dance becomes the motivation. And so it's, you know, maybe it's a homework break. I mean, I'm thinking activate the brain. When somebody says dance to me, I think I'll activate the brain. And so, you know, maybe you focus in on homework for 20 minutes and then you do 10 minutes of dance. And then you do another 20 minutes of homework and you do another 10 minutes of dance or whatever it is that kind of engages him. And it becomes a structure for him that enables him to be more successful, maybe even with getting his homework done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that resonates or not.
Yeah, we can try that and see. I had suggested that to him, but he wasn't interested. But maybe if I put the music on, he might become more interested.
Yeah,
I'll try that.
Maybe it's less about practicing and more about dancing.
Uh-huh.
because dancing is fun, practicing is not for most of us.
Right.
And mm-hmm. so even if it's just kind of like, okay, we're going to have a 10-minute dance party, he's still going to be practicing his moves.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a dance party instead of practice.
Right.
And then it's something that's motivating. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. What comes up for anybody else around systems and structures or motivators or anything?
Well, I have a question about this, even though the game said to take aim, in which I want to take aim with Ryan with his mind his own business against everyone's stuff. The other day, his room was disgusting, and I'm like, it's time, Ryan, even though I could clean it with 5 minutes, but I was like, you need to clean your room. He knows how to clean it. He cannot maintain it. But the next day, he kind of let, Mom, look at my room. He took a picture of it, a mess. I'm like, this is not funny, Ryan. This is a mess. So how do you get the motivation for him to maintain the room? I have actually rewarded him with money, whatever. That doesn't work. You know, money is kind of fluid for him. It goes through his fingers and then whatever. And after a while, games is not enough. You know, this is a boy who likes a variety of things. So I can't find something that's going to keep him interested in keeping his room clean. He has a hamster in the room. It's stinky. It's gross. I don't even like to go in it because it is so smelly. He does clean the hamster cage. He needs to clean it more often. So to have him maintain that room, and I know that's probably a problem for all ADD people, especially my husband, can't do it either. So how do you get someone to maintain their room? What is a, I don't know, a trick, secret, or whatever, because this is like
Here's the thing I would go back to. So, Jean, let's go back and say, what's a realistic expectation for your 12-year-old around cleaning his room?
Well, one thing I told him, I said, Ryan, you know, you just go in my room and put, we have a laundry chute. I go in the room and put your laundry just down the chute. It's not even the clothes as much as he has Lego mania in his room. And I'm like, maybe the Legos need to go downstairs again. We move them downstairs, and then he brings all the Legos back upstairs. So what is I don't expect it to be perfect. It's not a very big room, just to keep some of the clothes off the floor and the Legos back on. He has a Lego table. I mean, there's nothing.
Okay, so let me be more specific, okay?
Okay.
Is it realistic that he's going to, without any prompting from you, clean his room and straighten it on a regular basis?
No, I know that's not realistic, but I'm just saying, what is the system that
would... Okay, so is it realistic that with prompting from you, mm-hmm. he will follow up and spend a certain number of minutes every day straightening up?
Honestly, probably not, because I have tried that, and he won't do it. Really, he won't.
He won't do it. He stands there, and he defies you, and says, okay, so what's his motivation to clean his room?
Probably isn't a motivation. I mean, I could take away his video games. I don't really constantly, like, taking everything away. He does well in school and everything else, so... I don't want to eliminate everything because then he'll feel like, I have no life and I hate my life and I wish I was dead. That's the realm he goes into. I do well. Why can't I have a messy room? But it's just unsanitary to what when a hamster stinks. So motivation.
So here's the challenge. You've got this conflict, Jeannie. So you've got a conflict between the part of you that wants the room to be as reasonably clean as possible,
mm-hmm.
the conflict that you want to be able to have your child have some independence here and to not feel overwhelmed by the amount of work that he has. I mean, that's what I'm hearing. Is that fair?
Yeah. Yes, that's fair.
So that takes me back to the expectation, which is this, you know, there's a trade-off here. And so the question is, he can't do it without reminding. He's resisting the level that you're asking him for. You know, can you create a motivation that says, you know, and it needs to be realistic. It may not be that you can say, okay, you have to clean your room every day. It may be that you have a routine that on Tuesdays and Thursdays you clean the hamster cage, or Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday if it needs to be 3 times a week, and you put a system in place for doing that one thing because it keeps the smell down. Or every night you have a system that says, before we go to bed, I stand here and I watch you pick everything up off the floor and put it into the hamper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's picking a few things, and you've got to divide it up into small, reasonable chunks.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to set an expectation based on what is reasonable, because clean your room is a really big thing. And what I find parents do is that they have an expectation in their mind But there's so many steps to it. If you go back to the working memory, it's like I got to remember. It's like, what does a clean room look like? Well, I've got to clean the hamster cage. I've got to pick up the stuff off the floor. I can't tell you how many times my kids step over a towel from the shower because they just literally don't see it. It's not like they're being defiant and going, you know, see there, Mom, I'm not picking up my towel. It's literally that their brain doesn't see it. And so it's about setting an expectation and helping him create a routine that's going to work for him. So let's go on to somebody else, and then maybe your process can be, how do I help him create a routine for keeping his room reasonably clean in the context of a realistic expectation? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What comes up for anybody else? Either or suggestions for Jeannie about room cleaning. We're open to that one, too.
See, I really didn't expect him to totally clean the room. I just said because he did a really good job Sunday, and I just assisted and just watched him put everything in piles, and he knows how to organize it, and he just can't maintain it. So I said, Ryan, just today, just put your stuff down and shoot. That's all I expect. That is it. That's all I expect. And then he kind of tore up his room anyhow. I think maybe, I don't know, just to make me get upset or what. But I just said one thing, just put your clothes down and shoot. That's all I expect for tonight. But he didn't even do that. He just created a mess.
So here's the thing. I just heard you say that it's not realistic to expect that he will maintain maintenance.
Yeah.
What you want him to do is you want him to, with prompting, throw the clothes in the chute. So the question is it realistic for him to do that? If you say, please put your clothes in the chute, and you walk away, is it realistic to expect that he is able to do it?
No, he did it. He did it. No problem.
He did it.
Then he'll go back in there, and then he trashed his room when he came back from Boy Scouts last night and took a picture of it. Look what I did to my room. So what is that? Is that just playing with my head? Because the room was clean, and he just had to put his clothes down the chute, and it was fine, but then he trashed it like 9 at night when he came home.
So I mean, if I'm honest, I don't know. I don't want to pretend to be a psychoanalyst here, but that's not about playing with you. That's him having fun in his room's a mess, and how cool is that? You know, it's just interesting.
Okay.
Messing up your room is a blast. Have you ever messed up your room? It's fun. And I guess the question is, how does it help you to think that he's doing it to piss you off? Excuse my French, if that offends anybody. I mean, how does it help you to think that he might be doing it to bug you?
I think he does do it to bug me because he wants to see my reaction. Like, Mom, look, because he took a picture of it. Look at my rude mouth. It's a mess. It's all over. And I'm like, that's not really that funny, Ryan. I know. I mean, it's tired. It's like 9:30 whenever I go to bed early. It's 9:30. And he's
so why do you think, so get curious, Jeannie.
Mm-hmm.
Why would that be fun for him to show you?
Because he wants to get my reaction, and I know he knows how to do that.
He wants to see your reaction.
He wants to get my reaction, I know. Because we cleaned it together, and then he's like, oh, look what I did to my room. You know, Legos are in the room, and everything's in the room. I know he likes to push my buttons, and he knows it.
Okay.
And he smiles about
it. So what if you didn't have a button?
What if I didn't have a button?
Yeah, what if it didn't bug you?
I mean, I wasn't angry about it, whatever. I'm like, whatever, Ryan, you know. I'm like, okay. You know, to me, after a while, it's just the smell of the hamsters, which we can't put anywhere else because we have a cat.
So I can't tell whether it bugs you because he did it. You think he did it on purpose, or it's bugging you because you keep going back to the hamsters, which is the bare minimum.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like it really did bug you.
Well, this is our Sunday of my time, just making sure I supervise him cleaning the room. This is my time supervising him to do it. That's why I don't spend a lot of time on his room. I let it go. I'm like, I don't have the time to put into making sure your room is organized. You have your brother who has issues and your dad has stuff. So I don't really concentrate on his room that much. But when it gets so out of control, then I'm like, it's time. It's time. We have to clean your room. I will, you know, you put your stuff in piles.
Well, it's frustrating.
You know,
because I can hear. Yeah. Well, and here's the, I mean, I can hear the frustration in your voice, Jeannie, and it mm-hmm. makes sense because, you know, order and the lack of chaos is important to you. I mean, living with yep. an ADD kid is chaotic enough, and when you see the practical aspects of that in the room, mm-hmm. it makes it tough. And so, yep. you know, it's about finding ways to kind of let it go when you can, manage yourself when you can't, and if it really bugs you, if I'm honest, clean his room.
Oh, I have, but I know that's not going to teach him. I mean, I could clean his room, and, you know.
So here's the thing. I mean, if it's neurobiology, I mean, this is, mm-hmm. it's not teaching. He knows how to do it. He's having a hard time doing it.
Yeah. He's having a hard time maintaining. He knows how to organize pretty well. It's kind of amazing. I'm like, oh, my gosh. And he do it, but he's like, I just don't know how to keep it that way. You know, and I know he knows how to organize, which is like, and that's why for a while I didn't think he had ADD. I'm like, I thought people with ADD don't know how to organize, but he does. When he really puts his mind to it, he organizes really well. But he just
okay, so it. It's so it's again, it gets back to the executive function piece of it. It's situational. Sometimes mm-hmm. they know how to organize really well. Sometimes they don't, and it really kind of comes back to motivation. And so if you can create a motivation for him to keep his room neat. You know, so for example, my daughter, complete slob, you know, her room is just a complete mess. But whenever her friends come over, she wants her room to look nice. So she is able to kind of go, okay, I've got to get organized enough to get this neat because my friends are coming over. And then by the time they leave, the room's a mess again. But it's a motivation for her
mm-hmm.
To clean her room. So,
yeah.
So let's go back. So I'm curious, too. You were taking aim on how to handle disappointment. What is this whole idea of systems and structures? What comes up for you in terms of handling that?
Well, I think for him, he's 10, and he's a really big guy. He's almost as tall as I am. And so for him, dealing with disappointment when he was younger was always extremely physical. And he would really kind of scare his friends that way. So for me, I'm really interested in giving him different avenues, whether it's just talking it out. And I hope I'm getting to your answer here, but talking it out with him and sharing ways that both my husband and I deal with disappointment and seeing if something will fit with him. So making it so that it is something that's a possibility for him to try on and to go ahead and give it a shot and see what works. But with systems and structures, go ahead.
Yeah. So one of the systems that and structures that Elaine's family uses is code words, and we don't use it as much in our house because I don't always remember it. But the idea of a code, and she actually has a code word for disappointment, and she has one of her kids has a really difficult time with disappointment. And so what she does is she uses a code word before she needs to tell him something disappointing. So the code word she uses is bubblegum. And when she says bubblegum, it means take a deep breath because I need to tell you something you don't want to hear. You know,
okay.
So it just kind of prepares him. And it's a you know, it's like, okay, I know I'm not going to tell you it yet, but I need you to know that I'm going to tell you something that's going to disappoint you, so get ready. Because sometimes we have to hear things that are disappointing, which is what you're trying
sure.
to model is, you know, and I think that your idea of modeling and saying, wow, that was really disappointing, or I'm really disappointed, or what do I do when I'm disappointed? And so maybe there's steps to it, which is, you know, maybe I take a deep breath, and maybe I think about what the opportunity is that I can do something different instead of what I wanted to do, or whatever it is in terms of a routine that you can get into. But modeling and coming up with some kind of grounding for him so that he can, because I think part of disappointment is that it happens so quickly.
Yeah.
That it kind of shakes us up a little bit too. Does that make sense?
It does. So how do you take that? I can see how you would take that concept and a code word, which actually we've used with other things, and he really caught on to it. He liked it. because it has this sense of privacy and you can still use it even when your buddies are around and still get that immediate help. But what do you do when it's just your child and their friends and he doesn't have that code word? How is it that we can instill in them, besides just the practice, that ability of being able to do something which right now I'm realizing is enormous, but being able to handle the disappointment better?
Well, and it's a level of maturity, too. I mean, I think that that's the piece of it, is that it's about what's a realistic expectation at 10. I mean, you think about even, you know, if you take the 3 to 5 challenge, right, so he's, you know, somewhere between 7 and 5, and if, you know, take off another year if it's after 5 p.m., so, you know, you're, you know, 4 to 6-year-old range, it's hard when you're at that level developmentally to handle disappointment. And so maybe it becomes, I mean, I've got a friend who's got a daughter who really has a difficult time with disappointment. And what they taught her to do is just to kind of isolate and separate herself. And so when she gets disappointed, you know, she goes over and, she goes for a walk across the street, or she goes home, or she does something that is kind of like, I'm disappointed, I need to reground myself, I'll be back in a few minutes, or whatever it is, kind of like the, what is it that, you know, what is it that soothes him and helping him find something that he can easily connect to that soothes him, because that's really what he needs. He needs some feeling that he's safe. So it's number one is kind of being able to help them transition. So this gets back to Julie, which is this disappointment is actually a transition, because we're thinking our life is heading in one path and we're heading one direction, and then all of a sudden it's like, whoops, nope, I'm over here instead. And I'm completely different direction, which is a transition. And so the more we can prepare our kids that, hey, this is going to happen, and I know you're not going to like it, but unfortunately that's what's going to happen today. So it could be something as simple as, normally on Tuesdays we go out for ice cream after school. We're not going to, because today we have to go to the orthodontist. I'm totally making this up. But you know what I mean? It's like you're preparing them ahead of time, because disappointment is simply a transition. And does it help you to kind of look at it that way?
A lot. That's very helpful, because I know that's a major issue for him. So that's really helpful.
Okay. All right. So
yeah.
Are we out of time? So, anything else for folks come up around the systems and structures or motivations that you want to share with the group? Lisa, I'm curious if this is something that you could educate the teacher around that might help him with the positivity and the expectations and such.
Yeah, I don't know, because he seems to be so, whenever I talk to him, he seems to be so closed-minded. So, I'm not.
You know, can I share what's worked for me?
Yes.
So one of the things that I do with teachers is I say, this is what works at home. You know, and I just go on and on about what really works, and I share. And the other thing is that I actually have a positivity item in my son's 504, even at age 15. It says, you know, reward that, you know, praise the heck out of my son. It really motivates him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's literally there on paper. And, you know, just, you know, and the other thing that you could do is that you could be his positivity crutch for him. So you could come home, you know, when you're on the way home, you could say to your son, it's like, tell me 4 things that you did that you're really proud of today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so even if there's a gap in the way that the teacher is rewarding the positivity, at least you're helping him to look at the school day in a more positive manner. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, he's so proud of himself that he's, you know, doing good in behavior the last week or so. So he's really proud, and so am I. So we've been, you know, really stoking that up. So.
Awesome. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Sometimes the teachers need, I mean, that's the other thing we can model with teachers. It's just kind of like if we know that our kids really need praise, if we just go crazy and praise the teachers, sometimes I've found that too. It's kind of like I treat the teacher the way I want them to treat my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, because as I'm modeling, wow, you did a really great job with this. Thank you so much. I really appreciate this. This is amazing. You know, just kind of just, you know, creating that environment so that they, you know, because I think it's a subtle sort of, I think everybody gets worn out and overwhelmed, and we forget. It's a pretty normal thing to forget.
So,
let's go to our four questions. We have enough time to do this. So what did I focus on or pay most attention to today? I'm on page 26. What's my clarity? What's my takeaway from the conversation? What aha did I have? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how can I set myself up for success for this action? Just take a minute, write down those answers. Julie, I'd love to hear from you.
I forget with my son that it has to work for him too, and that he needs to be motivated. And what is that? And it's this list of the five things has been interesting. I've been kind of in my mind trying to figure out what it is that really motivates him. And I think the novelty and interest are kind of his peak things. So that means I need to kind of change up the system and structure from time to time to keep it interesting. But I know that the video games is motivating for him. And so if that can be sort of his reward for the drudgery of the day, you know, the homework or the chores, that's going to reward him and have him be successful. If he can spend 20 minutes doing a chore or the homework, then he can get the reward of the video games that he loves. So I know it's so simple. It's just a matter of making it happen at home. So I need to also, as sort of setting myself up for success, I need to make a plan with my husband and probably get his buy-in and also the kids' buy-in. So that's going to be tonight is just a conversation about what I think a good plan is, and what do you guys think, you know, do you think this is a good plan too, so that they're all on board?
Yeah, no, and I think that it's, I mean, I think it's really important because I think that it's one of the hardest things to kind of set up a system around because they do get hyper-focused and, mm-hmm. and it's hard to be consistent, especially because I think you're describing that you're going to do it at the end of the day. I know for myself it's really tough because, like, this is the one thing that's my son, it even happened last night, it's you know, it's like I'm done with my homework. It took me a long time, longer than I expected. I've only got 30 minutes left. Mom, can I have 30 minutes worth of homework? I know that that's going to push me beyond 9:30, but will you give me 30 minutes? And then it's like, you know, then you're tired and you know, our kids need a process for a transition. They might need mm-hmm. a 10-minute warning and a 5-minute warning and a 2-minute warning. And, mm-hmm. you know, so you've got to be able to set yourself up for success by saying, okay, maybe I need to not go upstairs and get involved in my evening stuff if I need to give them a warning in 10 minutes because mm-hmm. I'm going to forget. And then it's going to be 20 minutes and all of a sudden I'm going to be in a panic because they're not ready for bed yet. And it's mostly because I forgot to give them a warning. And they're like, wait a second, I'm supposed to get a warning. It's time to turn off already.
Yes.
And it's a pretty normal thing to happen, but it's so, you know, for me, and so I'll just tell you the story of last night. He got done with his homework. He said, can I have 30 minutes? And I said, yes, what do you need from me to be able to get off in 30 minutes? And he said, well, I need you to give me a 10-minute warning and a 5-minute warning.
Mm-hmm.
My son's 15, so he's at a different level of development than yours is, but you're going to figure out what are the number of warnings. And so then I knew, it's like, I can't get into bed. I can't, you know, it's like, what do I need to set an alarm for myself? Because I don't want to be, you know, in a place where I'm not giving him that backup. And then it's an hour later and I'm like, oh, wait, he's still done playing videos.
Do you use timers or like the time timer or anything like that to help you? as like a reminder for you?
I do. I mean, if I'm honest, my best timer is the commercials on television, because I unwind watching TV, and so I make sure I'm watching something that has commercial interruptions, but it automatically gives me a 10 or 15-minute break. So it's like every commercial I go, wait, where are the kids? What's my job right now? And that's my subtle trick. Then I'm not setting an alarm for myself, because the idea of setting an alarm at 10 o'clock at night is just exhausting to me. But I can take a break from the TV show and go, okay, every time the commercial comes on, I'm going to go and say, okay, you got 5 more minutes or you got 10 more minutes, and I tend to do it that way. And I'll let them go over, because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to make it too tough for me at 10 o'clock at night either.
Okay. Thank you.
So what in that resonates for you?
Well, I do the reminders every, you know, you've got 5 minutes, 10 minutes left. But I'm not consistent on that, and so that's a good reminder, I guess, for me that, okay, he's at a level that he needs the reminders. He needs me to come in and tell him that you've only got so many minutes left, so that he can be prepared for the transition. So.
Yeah, good. All right. Anybody else want to do a checkout? What are they going to focus on for the next couple weeks?
This is Lisa. I have to go. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Lisa.
Bye-bye.
Sue, do you have some clarity on what you want to focus on?
Yeah, I do. I really like it. This is kind of, I guess, my takeaway. But your comment about difficulty, the disappointment is really difficulty with transition, and to get that in my mind. So I don't see the difficulty that he's experiencing as just, so I see the core, the reason of where it's coming from, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And to just change that in my mind. Now, how? I'm not quite certain. But to really kind of look at it that way and just reframe it so that I have a different viewpoint of it, and so that I don't get as frustrated with it also.
Great. Love that. Jeannie, what's your commitment in terms of what you're going to focus on for the next couple of weeks?
Well, yeah, I know originally when I got on the phone, I was talking about AIM, of what the counselor was talking about, money, his own business, but that was kind of hard to put it together with, and motivating him to do that. So that's going to be something that she's going to have to work on my son with. It's just going to be basically maybe having more realistic expectations about his room and just finding one thing that he can do just to keep it a little bit more in order, like putting his clothes down the chute every day or whatever, and just trying to think some things around that area. So I have to really do some brainstorming and just be realistic about it.
Okay. All right. Cool. So thank you very much, everybody, and we'll talk in a couple weeks.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you, Diane.